followed by Randy Comer.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dean Trantalis, and while I don't live in the city of Wilton Manors, my law practice is in Wilton Manors. In fact, I've been there almost 18 years, and I'm invested in that community and have seen it grow rather nicely over the years. And I'm here to talk about growth. Now, I too have sat on this council before, and so I appreciate, I understand the seriousness of your role and the matters that come before it, and how important it is that we all get it right and see that each community is able to reach its potential as each community comes before you seeking change. So what is change about? Change is about growth. Let's face it, Florida will continue to grow, and let's make sure that as public servants, we all understand that the measure of growth is important to the quality of life that each of us seek to share and to allow others to share. So when I was asked to review this project, I looked at it in terms of how it fit into the overall context in which it's located. Yes, there are a number of single-family homes around it, as well as commercial property. And this property has remained vacant for quite a while. The church moved out about a year or so ago. And so we all thought, well, what is the best use of this property? The problem with Wilton Manors today, it's a small community, as many of you know. It's just under 12,000 people that live there. But it's a point of destination for quite a bit of other people coming from all over. It's an entertainment zone. It seems to be dominated by bars and restaurants. And I just don't think, honestly, I don't feel that a community can sustain itself for very long based simply on a commercial context that's based simply on bars and restaurants. And while there are other ancillary uses, like my law office, but those are few and far between. If the city is ever going to diversify and maintain some sort of future for itself, I think the only way it's going to do that is to increase the amount of housing that exists within the city's boundaries. Unless we add additional housing to reach that what we call that critical mass, we'll never be able to sustain the level of commercial activity and the amenities that many people seek within their own community in order to establish a vibrant urban center. Now, a lot of people don't want change because they like things the way they are. And we can all appreciate that. I was listening to the previous measure, how important it is that people like open space. We're not here really to discuss the site plan, but I do know that just looking at the site plan and looking at where this project is going, that there's been serious attention being made to try to keep the quality of life within the community in check and to make everyone share the importance of what it means to grow and grow in the right way. So I thank you very much for listening to me, and I support the measure.
Thank you.
Elsie Chan, followed by Randy Comer, followed by John Fiore.
And before you stop, start the clock, please. I'd like to apologize for speaking very, very quickly because I have a lot to say. And so my Brooklyn accent, my fast voice, here I go. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Elsie Chan, and I live at 1524 Northeast 24th Street. Although I am a New York City resident now, my parents, as some of you may remember, owned a Chinese restaurant, Moi Lee's, on Federal Highway. In fact, my parents were presented with the ceremonial key to the city of Fort Lauderdale for their contributions to the community. In addition to homes in Miami, my mother bought 5 houses, investing in Wilton Manors before the current boom. I inherited her house, which is directly across the street from the proposed hammock. Over these last years, you've heard much about the pros and cons of construction. I need not underscore safety concerns, traffic patterns, parking, and the negative impact of hundreds of tenants moving in, especially if they are not sold. So it's a turnover of tenants. In light of today's vote, I would like to read to you the vision of Wilton Manors. The City of Wilton Manors government strives to take effective actions to ensure quality services while sustaining a diverse culture and small town charm. Small town charm. I live in New York. And how is that vision in coherence with the overarching goals of the City Council? I read then from your website. The Urban Design and Planning Division's goals focus on enhancing the quality of life, improving livability in the city of Fort Lauderdale by encouraging, directing orderly growth orderly growth and promoting well-designed development and redevelopment through sound planning principles. As city planners, you have an awesome task. I remember those days when college kids were going to the beaches and there were no high-rises on Federal Highway. Wilton Manors is not the last of developing cities. It's going to have an impact as baby boomers begin to move into Florida. What is the density ratio of tenants per acre in small communities of one-family homes? Is there a need for projects of this density? Is it sustainable, or will it suffer the glut of overbuilding witnessed in Miami and their high crime rate? Friends of mine are leaving. I'm leaving New York now. And is it not disingenuous of the builders who started hard giving us a higher number, which was rejected earlier? As you vote today in your conscience, what is your responsibility and obligation to us? Would you believe my mother's house now, which was $3,700 in taxes, is now $20,000? We are willing to do this, but what about your obligation and responsibility to us? I was a superintendent, high school principal in New York City. I knew how many classes, teachers, budget, et cetera, et cetera. I look to you now to look at the density and where the city is going to go. So I thank all of you who voted no, and I thank you for those who will vote no until this density issue is resolved, not only for Wilton Manors,
thank you very
but
much.
For the entire city. Thank you.
Appreciate
very
it.
Much.
Randy Comer, followed by John Fiore, followed by Carl Lentzer.
Thank you for letting me follow her. Wow. she did say it all. She pretty much reiterated that I think all of us are going to say is we really don't have any problems with them developing the property. The density is just way too much. We said from the beginning we'd like to see only 40 units on this property. It's just a matter of how much money. I mean, instead of making $100 million, right, they're going to have to make $50 million, whatever. But I'm speaking for the people, my neighbors, that actually live in that area. I mean, there's one other person I recognize back here that actually lives somewhat in the neighborhood, but not really. A lot of these people, I mean, I've heard them speak at commission meetings, and they, by the way, my address was 2318 Northeast 15th Terrace, and that's Wilton Manors. It's not Hollywood. I'm speaking as a resident who's directly affected by this, and I would really appreciate you considering turning down the 88 units that's proposed. Let's just leave it at 40, and we'll be happy with that. I'm sure they will do a very nice job. They come up with some great ideas with this one, but we just want something that kind of blends in with our neighborhood. I mean, we're directly across the street. I mean, you're talking medium-high density right across the street from low-density 5 units per acre housing. So, I mean, they could talk about the commercial, what's on the one side of it, a condominium that has more units than this that went through back before they had any kind of restrictions. I just, please consider what we want, 40 units per acre. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
John Fiore, followed by Carl Lentzer, followed by Larry O'Brien.
Good morning. John Fiore, 2450 Northeast 15th Avenue. As I said last time, I've been an urban planner in Broward County for the past 40 years. And one of the things I learned is urban planning is the transitional concept of planning. You don't put medium-high density next to single-family homes. Even in Pembroke Pines, the same developer is developing townhouses surrounded by commercial and single-family homes at 7 units an acre. Yeah, there were some comments that, you know, why no one's complaining about the Section 8 housing. That's not in our neighborhood. That's in the central neighborhood section. When that comes up, I'm sure we will be complaining about it because it's just a bad thing even for the central neighborhood. We are not discussing the design, we're just discussing the density. We feel that this density is too high for the neighborhood. You've got, there was a comment made last time that, you know, we need to get used to it and get over it, that developers are going to be buying up everything in the, all the single-family homes in the neighborhoods and turning them into condos. I don't see developers coming in and buying homes that are valued between $750,000 and $1.5 million waterfront homes to be putting in condos. The, you know, one of the things you were saying, the need for this, actually, the city's economic plan, which the city paid a lot of money to have done recently, said that there was an extreme shortage for Class A commercial facilities in the city of Walton Manors. And quite honestly, this is not a bad location for a Class A commercial office building, which would still leave a lot less coverage on the ground than what would be proposed by this development. Now, the developer saying that all these 100 letters of support, if you look at them, most don't live in the neighborhood, which is east of the tracks. There's quite a few number that don't live in the city. There's some that are even dead. So, I mean, we're concerned with what affects our neighborhood in the east side of the city, the eastern one-third. And we would hope that that you would consider lowering the density that's being submitted down to low-medium. And I appreciate the time and your service. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Carl Lentzer, followed by Larry O'Brien, followed by Matt Gill, and then the final speaker, Dennis Mealy.
Hi, I'm Carl Lentzer, and I am part of the East Neighborhood Association, and I am one that supports this development. We all know that this is going to be a landmark condominium. We've all seen the drawings. It looks nice, and it's great for the neighborhood. And I'm also here to support the members of the ENA that are not here, because not all members of the ENA are against it. So there's several people of the ENA and even residents of the neighborhood that are for this, but are not with the Neighborhood Association. The Neighborhood Association, if you can look at the website, Walton Manors ENA has John Fiore Nixon as the president, and it was founded back in 2002. I joined in about 2010, was the first meeting that I ever went to, and that was a meeting where I thought something was a little weird was going on, and that's when the church site and developers, one developer first came on board. Since then, I started a website and just let the public know what the facts were, because I didn't believe that the ENA were providing the correct facts. In a response to my page, the ENA opened up another page calling Save East Wilton Manors, which of course is incorporated as well, and that can be looked under SaveEastWiltonManors.com, and it is incorporated. So he's in fact running an ENA and Save ENA out of the same Neighborhood Association. He did run a campaign against that first development that was on there without the approval of the ENA board. That's something that he went out and did himself without board approval, and consequently he was removed as president from the ENA. And this goes back quite a ways. It goes back to about 2011. The board voted him off, and basically...
So if we can just stick right to this agenda.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm trying to. Yes. I just wanted to make the point that they're going to go through anything they possibly can to get this changed. John Fiore...
right on the agenda item.
Yes, absolutely. Let's skip to page on your agenda. Page 166 is a letter of support from one gentleman. The third paragraph does describe that the East Neighborhood Association is demanding their earlier proposal from Fugos, which caused the fail. The ENA now requires and wants less density. I'm sorry, I've lost my spot. The views of that are not the approximate of the 35 residents that live in the east side of Wilton Manors. There's a couple comments on the Facebook page, but I'm going to leave that alone. Basically, I support the project as is.
Thank you for being here, sir. Appreciate it.
Larry O'Brien, followed by Matt Gill, followed by Dennis Mealy.
Good morning.
Good morning. I am one of the neighbors in the right north of the project, and we live one block north on 1620 Northeast 27th Drive. And I think it's a great, this would be a great addition to the neighborhood. I think the current building is an eyesore.
Oh, it's cool.
And I think this property needs to be put on the tax roll. And I think it's, we met the architect and the designer at the walk when they had the open house, and I think it's a fantastic property. Thank you.
Matt Gill, followed by Dennis Mealy. And just, I want to let the members know, right now we have 10 members still present. We have to have 9 members physically present for a quorum.
Yes.
Commissioner Brunson just left. She's going to phone in also. So at that point, we'll have Commissioners Brunson, Mayor Seiler, and Commissioner Udine on the phone, but we need to maintain a physical quorum for the meeting to happen.
I have a full moon.
So we have several members that have to leave at noon, so I'm going to ask the folks that are speaking to wrap it up succinctly. Thank you.
Matt Gill and Dennis Mealy.
Matt Gill, please.
Thank you. Dennis.
I'll make it very quick. Dennis Mealy. I would just want to talk about what we did once we met with the neighbors. We limited the access to the locations I showed you last time, and we made them directional access, some of them only ingress, some of them only egress. We lowered the density. At the City Commission meeting, they specifically approved 88 units. We had a higher number when we came in. The comments that you heard earlier were site planning comments. We scaled back the building to add public space around the south and along 26th. We put all the parking enclosed in a garage so it's not visible from the street. We made this a green building. It will be certified. We have a green roof on the recreation deck and on the top of the building. So that's all I have. If you have any questions, be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mealy. School Board Member Good.
For Mr. Mealy?
Mr. Mealy.
Yes.
Just real quick on the, or staff, whichever, on the issue of the density that's being proposed, I know that's an issue of discussion. Is there a similar density within Wilton Manors now currently that you know of?
Yes.
Yes, there's, on the land use map.
Those sound so similar.
Well, you see right across the street, that blue area, that's transit, was transit-oriented corridor, not now transitioned to Activity Center with adoption of Broward Next. And also across the street there is Wilton Station Development. That was amended in 2003 to a density of medium-high 25 units per acre, but now taken up by the Activity
that
Center.
That area again, tell me again, because I was trying to
It's 26th and Dixie.
Okay.
The crossroads, it's kind of diagonal from this. It's not, you can't really see it on the aerial, but it's just, it's west on the
okay.
street, west and just north on the other side of the street. But yes, there are other densities equal or higher to this within the city of Wilton Manors.
And just to add a couple, the Olivewood condominium right next to us is 28 units an acre. Barbara already mentioned Wilton Station.
The area to the, I'm sorry, say it again.
Just immediately west of us.
West, right.
And then the Metropolitan is 25 and a half units an acre.
Thank you.
And just real quick then, and that area to the west, I know the last meeting there was an issue of, you know, what was on the books as far as what's allowed versus what's there, correct? Right. Well, the designation when the 1977 and 1989 plans were adopted and then ultimately readopted as part of Broward Next at low, low medium 10, but it's actually was developed prior to the adoption of any of
right.
any land.
So the area to the west is, tell me again the number of units per
28
acre?
Units per acre.
Okay.
So that's where it says multifamily residential on top
Got
of the
it.
White roof.
And the applicant is asking for?
For 18 units per acre for a maximum of 88 units.
Okay. Just very quick, Mr. Chair. You know, I had listened very intently the last time listened to the speakers. The issue of density was a concern for me. So I just wanted to understand more how the area to the west. Oh, I guess my time's up. So the issue was for me density. The area to the west obviously is. you know, built to a higher density, more so than what is permitted by the map. And that was a concern to me. I didn't quite understand how that happened, and I know staff attempted to try to address that concern. And then the other issue is, you know, is there a lack of, and maybe I'll ask Mr. Mealy, Wilton Manors has become, you know, a very dynamic community, very, very popular. Is there a lack of residential development within the city that you think, in your opinion?
Well, the demand for residential is very significant in Wilton Manors. You see that just by how quickly properties sell and how the prices are.
And the pricing, correct?
Yes. And so, and our market studies show this is a sub-market that is very unique and very desirable. We get people here that live here. We also have people here who buy homes that are second homes or maybe live in a larger city up north. So it's a very much in need of new residential development.
Thank you, sir, for clarifying. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Ms. Graham.
Thank you, Chair DiGiorgio. Just a couple items real quick, because I wanted to ask questions as each speaker came up, and we had to hold him until the end. So to Mr. Nixon's first comments, he was one of the first speakers that came down. He enumerated various items with the site plan that he felt needed to be incorporated and revised. In reality, that's the job of your city commission and your mayor to put, I guess, restraints on the site plan as it's presented and work it back. I'm glad you put it on the record in the minutes. All the items were valid, I agree, but that's not under our purview to be able to do that. Secondly, to Ms. Chan, I agree with a lot of her comments as well. I know in other major cities in Palm Beach County that had high-end homes, either in gated communities or on water, where high-rise apartment buildings have been built. I'm thinking of one in particular in Boca Raton on Federal Highway, where it is a tall structure and it overlooks multi-million dollar homes in a gated community east of Federal and south of, I guess it's Royal Palm. So, and it's a brand new rental property. So I understand what you're saying. Your points are all valid. It's just not something that we have the authority to change. A couple other things that came from last month's meeting when this was on the item, was on the agenda. I didn't bring it up because I am just, it's a supposition on my part, but even if the architect agreed to reduce the number of units in the building, I felt that he wanted a taller building for that site. I don't think he would lop off a floor or two, even if they cut it in half, because from looking at the drawings that Mr. Mealy had presented, the sketches, and again, I'm an architect, I can't understand completely what he's doing, but that was the impression I got. It. They wanted something tall, they wanted something somewhat iconic on that corner, because everyone sits at that red light, they'd be looking at that building while it's getting built, and then once it's available to buy. The other problem that I think is the biggest leverage for anyone that's opposing this development now, even if it's not in the sea level rise area, which I think is a fallacy, I mean, to make these little zones across the county that says, oh, this is going to be attributable to sea level rise. The whole site is attributable to sea level rise, but it's really not sea level. It's just our elevated groundwater tables that we are going to have across the entire county. I mean, it's there now. It only took what happened a couple weeks ago with all of the rainfalls, and we had communities further out west that had huge acres of pervious areas where the water could, impervious areas where the water could not percolate, and there was nowhere for the water to go. Water's going to find its own level once it gets underground. I harp on that at every meeting, every agenda item that comes before us. So unless that's something that can be used as leverage to change the site plan, I know he's got a French drain system under the entire site from what had been proposed. There's going to be water problems, you know, but I'm not going to change my vote on these technical items, because as much as I'm putting them on the record, I want them in the minutes. I voted to approve it the last time because he isn't asking for anything more than what's allowed to be developed there now, which is the 88 units. But I strongly recommend that anyone coming before the City Commissioner Wilton Manors make the points, get it valid on the record so that at least they can alter the site plan and get these items they want. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Graham. Further commission discussion?
Move the item.
Move the item.
We have a motion from Mr. Castillo. Is that a second? From Commissioner Castillo made the motion. Mayor Ryan second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. Nancy, please call the roll.
Mr. Brian Blackwelder.
Commissioner Richard Blattner. Commissioner Felicia Brunson. Commissioner Angela Castillo.
Excuse me, that was a yes vote.
Did I hear Commissioner Brunson?
Yes, it was yes. That's okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Brunson.
Commissioner Angelo Castillo.
Yes.
Mayor Bill Gantz.
Yes.
Commissioner Michelle J. Gomez. School Board Member Patricia Good.
Yes.
Ms. Mary D. Graham.
Yes.
Mr. Richard Grosso.
No.
Mr. David Rosenoff.
Yes.
Mr. Richard Rosenzweig.
Yes.
Mayor Michael J. Ryan.
Yes.
Mayor Jack Seiler.
No.
Commissioner Michael Udine. Commissioner Michael Udine. Commissioner Beverly Williams.
Yes.
Mayor Daniel J. Sturmer, Chair. Mr. Thomas H. DiGiorgio, Jr.
Yes. Motion. Ms. Good voted yes. Motion passes. Thank you all very much. Appreciate everyone coming out with a spirited discussion today. Thank you. Good luck to you all. And we're back to item...
We're back to the regular agenda.
Back to regular agenda, council's report.
Council's report.
Okay, and I will attempt to be...
Chair, we just ask everyone to...
Keep it down on the way out, just so we can continue with business here.
Thank you, Mayor Ryan.
Given the time, I'll attempt to be brief. There was a lot of sound and fury during the legislative session with regard to local bills. Fortunately, or as for Chief...
Guys, please take the conversation out in the hall. Thank you.
I think fortunately a number of bills did not pass, but a couple of them did it, and I'll briefly note them. A Growth Management Act was passed with regard to charter schools that will limit the ability of local governments to require rezoning or special exceptions for repurposed buildings where a charter school is going into an existing facility. So there was, it's a long, long bill, but as relates to government authorities.
Mr. Chair, if I may interrupt, that was snuck into an education bill, and it is a huge impact, and many of them referred to it as the sunrise exception, because we fought against a charter school locating in an area it should not locate, putting children and families at risk. We defeated it. We won in trial court, and they dismissed their appeal, and this was their way to get around the ability of our commissions to be able to regulate health, safety, and welfare for our residents. I thank you for raising that. I'd like you to, if you can, to extract that and provide that to each of the members of the Planning Council so they're familiar with it at some point at a later date. Thank you.
I will do that because, yes, I've been monitoring it, and it appeared very late. It appeared, and it was actually broader. It was even to prohibit any special exceptions, and it was cut back to just refer to existing buildings, but... yes, that did come in late. Transportation, the act relating to small telecommunication facilities in the right of way was passed, and that preempts a whole area of municipal regulations of their own rights of way. It imposes what's called the shot clock, where if you don't approve it, you're out of luck. So every municipality is going to have to be on their toes on it. It certainly opens up areas for regulations, but it is strictly limited. So in essence, the state has taken a significant amount of control of the city's own rights of way away from them. Another area where some sovereignty was lost is a bill dealing with construction-related matters. All of a sudden, we found that municipalities and counties are prohibited from regulating gas price signage, pretty much taking away all authority of municipalities to regulate those type of signs, interestingly placed within that bill. The medical marijuana bill was passed. It is long. It creates a number of provisions. I was interested to note it prohibits smoking marijuana, but it appears to allow for vaping and other types of things.
And in schools.
Yeah. Well,
are you kidding?
The dispensaries have to be 500 feet away from schools. If people realize how close 500 feet is from a school, mm-hmm. it's not very effective. But one of the more significant aspects of this, and there's a lot to talk about on it, but is that municipalities are permitted to, we're given a choice of two polar opposites. If you're a government, counties and municipalities can prohibit marijuana dispensaries within their boundaries. But if you choose to, if you wish to take a course of action, we should allow them in and regulate them where they are, how they operate. You're not allowed to do that. Because if you allow one, then you have to allow as many as they want in under the same conditions as you would a CVS pharmacy or a Walgreens. So you cannot treat them any different than, so basically they kind of didn't give you a heck of a lot of choice.
All or
nothing. Yeah, all or nothing. And that's unfortunate, but that's the way that worked out. Quickly, the county, our county commissioners passed an amendment to our ethics code. The county ethics code, which has a tangential effect on you, not a very significant one. Because you're the final decision makers in a couple of matters, such as traffic ways amendments and recertifications, it does affect you. But what it does is affect lobbyists. The lobbyist, anyone who lobbies you on one of those two items, really where you're the final decision making, must fill out a lobbyist log. It's their responsibility. I've spoken to the county attorney's office with that regard. You're not going to have to fill out anything. You may wish to remind them of that fact, but that the good lobbyists will know that. No one's going to have to remind someone like Dennis or anyone fill out the log. He does that as a matter of course. But that's a very small change. But the responsibility is not on the decision maker. It is on the lobbyist. They will pay any penalty on that. So just wanted you to be aware of that. The more substantive matter is, I was asked to do an overview of the Burt Harris Act for you, Property Protections Right Act, and I'm going to try to do so.
Mr. Chair, if I could, I know there were many members interested in that. Would this be something that we could move to a different meeting?
I believe it's a good idea. We're not going to be meeting in July. We won't meet again until August, but I think it's appropriate to have more of the full council here.
That's fine. I'd prefer not to have to, because, you know, at a breakneck pace to rush through it.
To the extent there are any materials in advance, perhaps that could be circulated, but otherwise I think it would be better to have everybody here.
I think it's a great suggestion.
Mm-hmm. And what I was going to do was as a matter of just, it's up to this board, I was going to just really kind of present it orally as opposed to just for...
No problem.
I think that's appropriate to present it orally and go through it in August.
And clearly, then after that, I would invite private discussions as need be, because I'm just going to do an overview.
Mr. Grosso.
As the member who generated that discussion, I support moving the discussion from now till August. I do think it's important to have a meaningful, substantive discussion. And I'm okay with just an oral presentation of Andy's analysis, but I do think that it has a lot of implications for the paradigm through which we see proposed amendments. So let's hold it off, but let's give it some ample time.
I think that's right, because we're going to lose even more, we're going to lose a quorum. I'm here in 10 minutes, so I think it's appropriate. Thank you, Mr. Grosso.
Okay.
Thank you, Council. Is there any further discussion on any items, any other business we need to cover today?
Mr. Chair, if we have a moment, I just want to thank you for your efforts here today. You did a fantastic job running the meeting. Well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you all. The timer, I thought, did a fantastic job.
Well, there was a little hiccup, but all I would note is that the timer went beyond her time when it went off.
Excellent. So, last item business, like I said, there will be no July meeting. Everybody enjoy your summer. We'll see you all August 24th. This meeting is adjourned.